All right, hello again, and good afternoon. I will start off with a statement on the situation in Gaza and southern Israel. The Secretary General condemns the recent multiple rocket attacks on Israel from Gaza. These indiscriminate attacks on civilian areas must stop. The Secretary General is extremely concerned at the dangerous escalation of violence, which has already resulted in multiple Palestinian deaths and injuries as a result of Israeli operations against Gaza. He reiterates his call on all actors to exercise maximum restraint and avoid further civilian casualties and overall destabilization. It is imperative now to restore calm. The unsustainable situation in Gaza will also need to be addressed in its political, security, humanitarian, and development dimensions as part of a comprehensive solution. And that statement is available in my office and online. I also have a statement on the third anniversary of the independence of the Republic of South Sudan. On the occasion of the third anniversary of the South Sudan's independence, the Secretary General recalls the hopes and expectations of the people of South Sudan where their country was established on July 9, 2011. Those hopes were dashed by the conflict that broke out in December of last year. Thousands of South Sudanese have been killed, and atrocities have been committed against civilians. The South Sudanese people are bearing the brunt of the failure to stop the fighting. They are living in squalor, their livelihoods have been lost, and they are plagued by hunger, disease, and insecurity. Over 1.3 million people have been driven from their homes, and unless the resources are forthcoming and the parties cooperate, hundreds of thousands face the possibility of famine in the coming months. The Secretary General reminds the leaders of South Sudan that this is a man-made crisis. It is their responsibility and within their power to stop it. He calls on them to live up to the expectations of their people, lay down their arms, and return immediately to the negotiations table. The Secretary General reassures the people of South Sudan that the United Nations stands with them and will continue to make every effort to provide them the protection and humanitarian assistance that it is their basic right. And also from South Sudan, Hilda Johnson, on her last day as the Secretary General Special Representative in that country, spoke to the press in Juba. She said that South Sudan had been saved from fighting and from, excuse me, she said that South Sudan had to be saved from fighting and from failing. She said the leadership of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, whichever faction they belonged to, were all responsible for this crisis collectively. She added that after decades of sacrifice and suffering to get their freedom and independence, these leaders turned on each other. Finally, she said that the United Nations and the UN mission in the country were here to stay and would continue to support the people of South Sudan. And the full text of her statement is also available in my office and online. Also from South Sudan, UNICEF and the World Food Programme are stepping up their joint mission to reach desperate people in remote areas of the country. In these areas, the number of children at risk of death from malnutrition-related causes has increased dramatically, and a hunger catastrophe is looming. An estimated 235,000 children under the age of five will require treatment for acute malnutrition this year. That's twice as many as last year. The situation is most dire in Jonglei, Unity, and Upper Nile states, where data indicates that as much as 60 to 75% of the population is severely food insecure. And from Afghanistan, the UN mission in that country says it has taken note of yesterday's announcement that the preliminary presidential runoff results. It is aware that the results are not final and are subject to change, and that it would be premature for either of the candidates to claim victory. The mission continues to encourage the electoral institutions to fully carry out their mandates while demonstrating utmost impartiality, transparency, and responsibility. The mission also urges the institutions to cooperate with the framework of their mandate to conduct additional audits in a rigorous and timely manner. The UN mission reiterates its call for the candidates to exercise restraint and to take all necessary steps to control their supporters, to prevent them from making any irresponsible statements and from taking steps that could lead to civil disorder and instability. And we have more information in my office. From Iraq, the UN Children's Fund led a second humanitarian mission to Sinjar in Iraq's Nineveh province yesterday. An estimated 8,000 families have fled to Sinjar from neighboring Tal Afar and are in need of assistance. The humanitarian team reported that access to clean water and sanitation remains critical. Some 35,000 children are displaced in Sinjar and remain the most vulnerable to diseases. UNICEF and the World Health Organization continue to supply emergency medical kits, but have warned that the area suffers from a severe shortage of medical capacity. As a result, the Secretary General's Special Representative in Iraq, Nikolai Mladenov, has announced the UN is preparing an extensive emergency response in Sinjar. And more information on the humanitarian situation in Iraq is available online. Meanwhile, back here at the Security Council, the Secretary General's Special Representative for West Africa, Said Djinnit, briefed the Council this morning. He said that despite the efforts to promote development and consolidate democracy, the region continues to be confronted with the daunting scourge of transnational organized crime, including drug trafficking, piracy, and the growing terrorist activities. He called for decisive concerted efforts to fight these threats of regional stability and its security. And on Nigeria, he added that the country was at the crossroads with growing insecurity in the northeast and increasing political tensions in lead up to the 2015 general elections. He added that the Boko Haram crisis was now affecting the sub-region and asked council members to continue to support efforts aimed at preserving stability in the country. And his remarks are available in my office, and we do expect him to come to the stakeout a little bit later today. From the Central African Republic, the UN senior humanitarian officer on the scene, Claire Bourgeois, strongly condemned the recent attacks against civilians in Bambari and Pawa. On July 7th, people who had sought refuge at the St. Joseph Cathedral in Bambari were attacked. This followed an incident on July 4th where gunmen threw a grenade into a mosque in Papua, injuring 34, including 4 seriously. And we have a press release available in my office on that. And from Somalia, the Food and Agricultural Organization has warned that the food insecurity in Somalia will deteriorate in the coming months due to poor rains and drought condition in parts of Somalia. According to the FAO's Food Security and Nutrition Analysis Unit for Somalia, some of the areas where food crisis is expected include the agro-pastoral regions of Bakool, Gedo, Middle Juba, Hiran, and Lower Shabelle. In parts of Mogadishu, where rates of malnutrition have surpassed emergency levels among displaced communities, conditions are expected to deteriorate even further. The humanitarian coordinator for Somalia, Philip Lazzarini, has called on the donor community to make resources available immediately so that aid organizations can carry out emergency assistance. Humanitarian appeal for Somalia is only 25% funded. An estimated $700 million is still needed to reach almost 3 million people with assistance until the end of the year. And we have more information in my office. The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights says it is deeply disturbed that Australia has returned 41 asylum seekers to Sri Lanka, apparently without adequate screening of their protection claims and needs. It says that the international law requires that each case be properly and individually examined on its own merit, and it is not something that can or should be done hurriedly. The office welcomes the High Court of Australia's issuance of an interim injunction against the return of 153 other Sri Lankan asylum seekers, reportedly including 40 children. It hopes the matter will be subject to a full judicial review in light of Australia's obligations under international law, and more information is available on the High Commissioner's website. And our colleagues at the Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs say that Typhoon Noguri is located in the north of Japan's Okinawa, where 540,000 people have been advised to evacuate. The typhoon is expected to turn eastward and make landfall in Kyushu on July 10th, continuing to move slowly across Japan. OCHA stands ready to support its regional office, and its regional office is in close contact with Japanese authorities. UN Women today appointed British film actress Emma Watson as its new goodwill ambassador. The executive director of UN Women says that the engagement of young people is critical for the advancement of gender equality in the 21st century. She added that Ms. Watson's intellect and passion will enable UN Women's messages to reach the hearts and minds of young people globally. And more information is available on the UN Women website. And finally, the Department of Public Information would like to invite you, the journalists, to a special event this evening at 6:30 p.m. in Akosak to mark the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the First World War. The permanent missions of France and Germany, in cooperation with DPI, are organizing a commemorative event to promote the principles of peace and reconciliation. The event will feature remarks by the Secretary General, readings from letters and diaries of participants of World War I, and musical performance by the Grammy Award-winning Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, featuring compositions by Samuel Barber, Ludwig van Beethoven, and Maurice Ravel. I never thought I'd be able to talk about Beethoven and Ravel at a noon briefing. There you go. First time for everything. Yes, Sir Karaman.
Thank you, Stefan. Quickly on Gaza. Has the Secretary General talked to the quartet members? What is he doing to kind of de-escalate the situation in his capacity? And also in Iraq, is the UN talking to ISIS about how to deliver some of the humanitarian situation? And how is it going to be coordinated there? Thank you.
On Gaza, Secretary General is obviously following the situation very closely. There was a few days ago a court. Carla, I would really ask you to put down the newspaper. Thank you. Quartet envoys were in touch a few days ago. The Secretary General's special coordinator, Robert Seri, is obviously in touch with various, with both people on the Israeli and the Palestinian side. And as more becomes available, I will share that with you. Iraq, I'm not aware of any direct contact between the United Nations and ISIS. Obviously, I think as we've often said from this podium, and I know John Ging talked about it a few weeks ago, when it comes to the actual access, UN and international NGOs talk with whomever they have to talk to try to get aid through. Matthew, and then we'll...
Some other stuff, but just to follow up on that, yesterday Farhan had said that this letter from Mahmoud Abbas was received by Mr. Seri but the Secretary General had yet to see it. I'm assuming he's now seen it, and I'm wondering what's his response to the various requests made by Mahmoud Abbas.
Great. I mean, I think we've received the letter. We're taking a look at it, but I think one would also have to say that there is an investigation going on by the Israeli authorities. And I think on the horrendous killing of the young Palestinian teenager, we've seen a number of arrests in this case, and we hope that the investigation will continue and will be thorough, and that the perpetrators will be brought to justice.
What about the filmed beating of the Palestinian American teenager, where it seems pretty clear that the authorities did it, and it's
we open would and like shut. To see. I think in all these cases, we would like to see a thorough investigation done by the Israeli authorities.
Follow up on that.
Yes,
thorough, but you not independent, as you, because the Israelis are a party, and they are at war with the Palestinians, and they are occupation forces. So they cannot be impartial in this case.
I think we, as I said, we've already seen the results of the investigation. The partial results of the investigation, the killing of the young Palestinian teenager, and we would look to the national authorities to conduct a thorough investigation. And I'm told, for those of you interested, Mr. Jinnit will be the stakeout shortly.
Another follow-up: why did the rockets fired from Gaza are condemned, whereas rockets fired from M16s
are not? This is something that recurs all the time.
Well, I think I would refer you back to the statement that I've just said, and the Secretary General has repeatedly called for a de-escalation of the situation. Yes, Iftikhar, and then Joe.
Thank you, Steph. Does the Secretary General have any comments on Indian government's decision to close down the UNBOGIF's office in New Delhi? Now, this decision, as you know, has implications on Kashmir dispute, which is on the agenda of the Security Council, and also that this mission operates under the authority of the Security Council.
No, definitely. I agree with what you've just said. And on the mission has received the Indian government's request to vacate those premises, which is currently using in New Delhi. The UN mission is currently conducting a market survey to assess the costs and identify possible alternative locations. And UNMOGIP is in contact with the Indian authorities, and we will continue its cooperation on this matter. No, I said we're looking for...
They only want these premises.
We've been asked to vacate the premises. We're now looking, as I said, we're conducting a market survey. I'm not familiar with the real estate market in New Delhi, but we're looking at it and trying to find some, seeing where the cost would be. Joe, then Edie, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, in response to the crisis at the U.S.-Mexican border of the influx of unaccompanied children from Central America, a U.N. Refugee Agency official reportedly called upon the U.S. to broaden the definition of refugee beyond seeking a political asylum to also allow the entry of children, in this case, affected by high crime and economic conditions. I'd like to know whether the Secretary General has any comment on broadening the definition of refugee for eligibility for asylum.
I haven't seen those comments. What I would just say is that obviously every country, every nation has a responsibility to uphold international conventions on migrants and on refugees, and they need to be treated with respect and with care. Edie. And then Ms. Javadi.
Two questions. First, as a follow-up on UNMOGIP, from what you said, can we assume that the United Nations does want to keep some kind of an office in New Delhi? That's what it appears from what
you said. I'm assuming
it,
so I think it's safe for you to assume it.
Okay. Secondly, on Afghanistan, does the Secretary General accept the preliminary results of the election, or does he believe that both candidates should wait until this investigation is over and an official result is declared?
May I add to...
Let's go. Let's do a smorgasbord. Go ahead.
Yes, the situation has now worsened in Afghanistan with calls for establishment of a parallel government by influential warlords and also the threats by Mr. Abdullah Abdullah to carry out massive demonstrations in Afghanistan.
So I think, you know, this is an Afghan-led electoral process. The UN's message from the beginning the UN has called on all the candidates and now the last two candidates to accept and to work with the Independent Electoral Commission and the Complaints Commission. These are preliminary results, and it's a step in the electoral process, but it is not the final step. I think it's important that the Electoral Commission implement further audits and other measures that could enhance the credibility and the transparency of the electoral process. I think, as in any election, it's important that not only the candidates but the people who participate in the election have faith in the credibility of the results. So if audits need to be done, they should be done. And the UN mission and the Secretary General's message is for all the candidates to avoid any inflammatory language and to work and participate in the Afghan electoral process, which includes cooperation with the Electoral Commission and the Complaints Commission. Mr. Abadi, and then Carla, and then we'll go in the back.
Thank you, Stefan. Back to Gaza. The Secretary General has called on the parties not to escalate tension there, and he has pointed to the need of comprehensive solution, which has taken 65 years and has not come yet. Shouldn't the Secretary General under Article 99 go to the Security Council and draw their attention to possible widening of the conflict into a war in Gaza?
Well, I think the situation in the situation in the Middle East, including the question of Palestine, as it's officially known, is very much on the Security Council's agenda. And I think the one thing the Secretary General, the Secretary cannot be accused of, is of not bringing to the attention of the Security Council the situation currently between the Israelis and the Palestinians and the wider Middle East. I think there is a monthly briefing to that effect, and the messages from the Secretariat have been very, very clear. Carla. Let me just take Carla, then I'll come back.
The newspaper today, okay, the Financial Times, had an article on the advisability of separating Iraq into three separate ethnic enclaves. And we have seen recently the disintegration of the former Yugoslavia, now South Sudan. And now there's a lot of talk about the separation of Iraq into three parts. What is the UN position on this, assuming they all want to join the UN? I mean, the number of states in the
I
UN
think the,
would...
The focus currently on Iraq from the UN is to encourage the formation of a government in which all Iraqis feel they are fairly represented. Nizar, and then,
Since this comprehensive solution to the situation in the Palestinian territories is far-fetched at this time, and the Secretary General knows that it is an ambitious goal he's setting, what are the interim solutions you think they should be taken? Ceasefire under what conditions? And how should the issue of killing the two young Palestinians near Afra prison, which started before the abduction or the alleged abduction of the three Israelis, because until now we don't know whether these Israelis were abducted by Palestinians or not. Nobody claimed responsibility for it. So what are the interim solutions he suggests?
I think the Secretary General is clear in his call for halting of the violence and a de-escalation and for direct political contacts between the two. Errol.
Thank you, Steph. On a more broad issue, I would say, or returning back to the sustainable development or so, there are reports recently that are saying that UN is overstating, even using the word trumpeting, on their success of eradication of poverty by 12-15, which is coming soon. In the meantime, what you say on that, what the Secretary General really means on that, whether it's going to be successful, possible mission to reach that goal, and it did, in the meantime, the definition of the eradication of poverty changed, and we are not aware of.
Not aware of a change in the definition. I think yesterday you had quite an extensive briefing on the MDGs, which gave you a fairly sober look of what still needs to be done and what has already been achieved. The message is clear that from now until September 2015, we need to accelerate our efforts to try to meet the goals that we can. And it's clear from the report yesterday and other reports that we're not going to be able to meet all those goals. So I think the UN's assessment has been very, very sober.
Stefan, Australia is coming in for frequent criticism from the UNHCR for its treatment of asylum seekers, in particular boat people. When Australia regards itself as a good global citizen, I wonder what the view is within the UN about how its harsh treatment towards boat people is undermining that reputation.
Well, it's be it for me to assess the reputation of the 193 member states in this organization. What I can say on the facts, I think you've just heard me amplify the message from the High Commissioner for Human Rights of the need for asylum claims to be treated individually, for asylum seekers to be treated along the lines of international law, to be treated humanely. And I think that is the Secretary General's message, whether it be in Australia, in the U.S., on the U.S. southern border, or anywhere else where people are forced to flee conflict, poverty, or other situations, and are seeking refuge and shelter. Karaman, Matthew, and then Joe, and then Mr. Abadi.
On Gaza again, Stefan, to be more specific, has the Secretary General spoken to President Abbas or Prime Minister Netanyahu or even President Obama over the phone about the crisis. And also, I mean, with all due respect, whenever Israel feels bored or, you know, they just go have operation on Gaza just as collective punishment, it seems like. Has the Secretary General tried to tell this to Israeli leadership over, you know, before the crisis took place, because this was coming? Everybody.
I'm not sure. Not that you've asked me if I agree, but I'm not sure I agree with the premise of your question. The Secretary General's calls for an end of violence, for a show of restraint by the Israelis, has been repeated and has been clear. Understanding also the legitimate security concerns of the Israelis. As for contacts between either the Israelis and the Palestinians, when I have something to share with you, I will. Joe, and then Matthew, and then Mr. Abadi.
Okay. Well, first, Israel has shown a considerable amount of restraint, getting 50, 60, 70 rockets
let me just stop.
Per day.
You're all welcome to have a dialogue and a debate, I'm not the moderator. I'm just here to answer questions.
I have to correct the record. There have been too many irresponsible statements being made. When a country is under assault, 80 rockets a day. But secondly, my question is, considering Palestine's claim of statehood, its status as an observer state in Israel, a service state in the United Nations, excuse me, has the Secretary General specifically called upon the Palestinian Authority to do everything it can within the territory in which it's currently administering to search for and arrest those responsible for the kidnapping and murder of the three Israeli teenagers, and also to prevail upon its partner, Hamas, and the unity government to cease the rocket attacks?
I think the Secretary General's message on ceasing the rocket attacks have been often stated. On the investigations, we've seen that the government led by President Abbas has made effort and has made statements in order to try to find the perpetrators of the three Israelis who were found dead, and we've taken note of that. Matthew,
sure. I want to ask you about Ukraine. The government has been quoted as saying that promising the separatists a quote nasty surprise in Luhansk and Donetsk. And it doesn't seem that there is any ceasefire in place. And there's now some dispute about what should a ceasefire have preconditions. What would the Secretary General say to this upcoming nasty surprise? And does he have any, or the Secretary have any view of there's a newspaper called Vesti in Kiev that was attacked with Molotov cocktails and tear gas?
No, I haven't seen that report. As for surprise, nasty, or any sort of military operation, I think what Farhan told you yesterday about the Secretary General's message that military means alone cannot provide a solution, and he's renewed his call for a ceasefire that would be upheld by all parties, and that there needs to be a political and a diplomatic dialogue.
Is the UN playing any role? And there seems to be various people talking to President Poroshenko, including France, Germany. Is the UN? Is there any UN kind of role in trying to?
I think the UN's role is focused on the human rights observers. Obviously, the Secretary General's good offices are always available. And we're also in contact with our colleagues at the OSCE.
Thank you, Stefan.
Go ahead, and then everyone.
Is there any announcement from the UN mission in Libya? There have been reports that some of its personnel have been evacuated to Italy. Can you confirm that?
Yes, there is. We have the mission is temporarily reducing its number of staff in Libya, owing obviously to the prevailing security conditions, as you can imagine. That decision to bring down the number of staff was taken solely on the assessment of security and the need to protect our staff, and it's a temporary move that will be reassessed on on a regular basis, and we'll continue to provide the critical work. Yes, I'd like to follow.
How big is the reduction?
How big is there? I'm not going to go into numbers.
Just as a follow-up, is it from both Benghazi and Tripoli, or is it from other places?
It is. You know what? I'm not going to assume anything, so I'll get you, if I can get you more information after the briefing, we will. Evelyn?
I may have missed it because I've been out, but have all the OSCE monitors been released, or some of them still in captivity by thugs in the East?
To my knowledge, and you should check with the OSCE, they have not all been released. Linda, and then Mr. Abadi, sorry.
To South Sudan. We know it's the third anniversary. Anniversaries are often a time to evaluate and assess conditions. Since it seems as if things are worsening, and we know the UNSRSG is leaving today, are there any new approaches being thought about perhaps to deal with the crisis, you know, sort of breaking away from the status quo?
Well, I mean, I think, as you know, the mandate of the mission has changed. We've been given a slightly different mandate from the Security Council, so that is obviously a different approach. And, you know, as soon as we have the name of the new SRSG, we will announce it. Mr. Abadi.
Thank you, Stefan. Back to Gaza. I'm aware that Secretary General periodically informs the Security Council on developments in the area. This is not regular development. This is a crisis. And besides, it's an urgent crisis. Shouldn't the Secretary General draw the attention of the Security Council on to this urgent crisis so as to prevent development, it's developing into a major war which might threaten international peace and security in the region?
I think you and I will have to agree to differ. I think the Secretary General has brought to the attention of the Security Council on a regular basis, the situation in the Middle East. Thank you.